15% or more of the general population that has four or more cats and dogs. I don't think that's a very telling statistic.
No, I suppose. Well, that's the thing about statistics is that, yes, as Andrew is saying, they're not terribly contextualized for the most part. You know, 81% of gay men have dined out more than five times in the past month.
Now, that's a telling statistic. That's like high numbers, 81%.
Yeah.
And five times a month to go out, you think like going out for dinner for a couple, it costs about between $30 and $50, depending on what kind of
couple they
are.
Do you suppose this is like takeout? Or dining out?
Dined out.
So like in a restaurant.
Yeah, dined out, that means
restaurant.
You go out. So,
yeah.
So that bespeaks a certain affluence. But then again, you remember that they were talking to educated, you know, white men who had some training and were probably in more professional jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots that has to be done, I think, on when in research, in sociological research and legal research and all kinds of research to take into account people who don't fit into our archetype of normal. And our, you know, we think of the normal Canadian, normal American, and too often the sort of we've set up that the normal person is a white person, and that's really, and that sort of subconsciously guides how we structure research and how we ask questions and who we look for and who we, when we stop looking for new subjects. And that gets reflected in a lot of the studies, and there's a lot that's reflected that way in that, like, for example, there are no studies of lesbian transmission of AIDS. There's very few studies of lesbians in any kind of health questions. So we don't have any statistics at all, but they will occasionally do a study on women, and they won't ask questions about lesbianism. So then they offer statistics about women that might not apply to a particular group that has its own standards and its own practices and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of my little soapboxes I can find to stand on with regard to this book.
Good
and
for
they,
you.
They do acknowledge that that situation in their introduction, and I don't think I'm saying that to the editors or authors of this book in particular. I'm just saying in general, people who are finding, making these statistics for us will continue to evolve in how they do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Because there's often the disclaimer about, it's just they survey maybe 2,000 people or something like that, and then there's a margin of error, and then there's the 19 out of 20 percentile thing happening, so it's...
Yeah, but then you have to ask, where did they advertise to get those 2,000 people?
Yeah.
Was it at Columbia University or,
or
McGill, or was it at a community health center, or was it at a...
Or was it in small town Arizona?
A salsa bar, or
yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Or what? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, exactly. So there's a few stats here about the family, and there's an estimated 6 million to 14 million children that have a lesbian or gay parent. And where did they get that stat from? From a book, basically. Charlotte J. Patterson, Children of Lesbian and Gay Parents. So, yeah. I mean, and in fact, most of these statistics do come from people's books. People that have researched things. And an estimated 10,000 children are being raised by lesbians who became pregnant through artificial insemination.
10,000. Neat.
Yeah. And again, there's that word estimated. Oof, I mean.
Because how many people went out and found a friend and found a way that wasn't quite normal insemination or...
Well, exactly.
Sexual insemination. You start wondering about the categories.
Because we're an example of that, really. I mean, technically speaking, artificial insemination, I think, generally speaking, means through a hospital, right? Or a sperm bank.
Yeah,
some kind of medical intervention.
It connotes like dried ice samples shipped to Federal Express, and then syringes and things. But like using a little cup, like that's pretty artificial, I think, in ancient terms. Or maybe it's not. Who knows?
But I think probably as defined by this particular stat, it involves the medical establishment.
Yeah,
I would think.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any favorite stats in here?
Well, let's see. I had marked a couple that I thought. And some of it I thought was, there was one that was, one thing that's interesting, I don't know if people were aware that there was a report. I mean, if you're following this military ban thing in the U.S., then this is sort of interesting to know the stats about. There was a 639-page report published in written in 1957 by an internal committee of the U.S. military that stated there was no sound basis to assume that homosexuals pose a security risk.
Ooh.
The report further stated that there have been many known instances of individuals who have served honorably and well, despite being exclusively homosexual. For nearly 20 years, the Pentagon denied that this report existed. And so I'm assuming 20 years after 1957 would be 1977, and this became available. So one thing that's interesting, I think it says here, since 1982, almost 95% of military personnel discharged for homosexuality have received an honorable or general discharge. And that I think that shows that there's been a little bit of pressure on them not to fully humiliate the people they're throwing out.
Right.
But anyway, in a little better vein, this is about gay men, but as we said, most of the stuff in the book is about gay men. A survey of 35,000 gay men, 82% said reading was a favorite hobby. And I bet you Laurence at Lendergin would agree with that, and he's talked to me several times about having a very, very special market. And it's not just that he's the only place where you get gay books, but that gay people need to read, and that books and literature are really a crucial way to find gay identity stuff and gay culture stuff.
Right, right, right.
So... being a bookie person myself, it's sort of...
That's totally validating, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, and they sell really well. As they say here, at Chicago's Unabridged Books, which is a bookstore in Chicago, lesbian and gay titles make up 10% of the stock, but account for 33% of their sales. So you think they'd stock a little more, don't you?
Wow, you would. Yes, yes. Oh, well, it looks like Elaine is just kind of itching to get back on the mic. I think, well, I mean, the stats book, we could go on forever, really.
Exactly.
Really, we could just
and
keep flipping through.
And some of it will be interesting to some of you and others not, but
but
you
anybody,
have an idea.
Yep, anybody who's at all interested in stats, let's
and
see,
you've been
how
trying
much is
to convince
it?
Your parents and your friends and or you had these fascinating conversations with coworkers about accepting homosexuality.
Exactly, and you need something
things.
To back you up.
Exactly.
This is it. Gay and
nice
Lesbian Stats.
Volume.
Edited by Bennett L. Singer and David Deschamps. And where can you get this? Lendergin, of course.
Lendergin.
And it's $5.95 US, so it's like 7-ish Canadian, I suppose.
Right. And it's my advice to go and ask some mainstream bookstores if they carry different lesbian and gay books. Because I think it's good that for them to get a sense of how many of us are out there and that they have to... support these publishing, you know, the publishing ventures of gay and lesbian authors, which they won't necessarily do if they don't know they have an audience for it.
Exactly. So if you go to Kohl's and ask for all kinds of gay and lesbian stuff, and, you know, other people do as well, then eventually it'll occur to them maybe to stock some things.
Exactly.
Okay, that's there our plan. That's our aim. Okay, it's 8 o'clock and Alana has something to say.
Well, you guys were just talking about how queers need to read.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But queers also need to vote.
Ah.
Thank you very much. And the municipal elections are this Sunday. And voting in the municipal elections may not seem that important, but in fact, the municipal politicians actually have a direct effect on your life, whereas, you know, federal and provincial,
yeah, it's true.
Not, doesn't feel so close to home. Because,
it's true.
In fact, if you know, a politician who gets in who actually has a concern for gay and lesbian issues, we'll see the effect on our lives because they can do things like find us a free community center, give us free space for the community center, which is what happened. I just want to mention two lesbian candidates who are running in this election, and they're both with the RCM. And there's a few other queers running this election, but I don't have the names.
Oh.
And they're not all out, but if you happen to know, you know, just spread the word because it's nice to have more queers at City Hall. One of them is Claudine Metcalf, and she's running in Centre Sud. So if you live in Chinatown, Old Montreal, or in the Village, you can vote for Claudine. And she's the editor of Gazelle, and she has a big lesbian and gay agenda. There's also Louise Roy, who's running in Mercier, and that's kind of the northeastern plateau area. It's like all of Saint-Denis and over there. And she's also a dyke, and... she has promised the co-op lesbienne a space if she gets into power. So that's quite fabulous. The co-op lesbienne could actually have, you know, some sort of community center you know, that would replace Ecole Guilford.
And so what part is she?
She's also RCM or okay. MCM.
MCM, which is the reigning municipal party.
And you don't have to vote for Jean Doré to vote for these women. You can vote for them and then vote for someone else. So some other things, if you want to find out more about kind of like from a feminist angle about the municipal elections, you can check out Women News. They do kind of a feature on the women candidates and what party has the most women represented. And in fact, Vision Montreal has the most women.
Oh, really?
This election, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do they have somewhat feminist politics? Does that sort of come out in their policies? That they
well,
have
I
a
think
lot
it's.
Of women,
I wouldn't necessarily say feminist, but they are making an attempt to have equal representation of women and men, and they didn't succeed, but they do. They were the best out of all of them.
But, interesting.
Yeah, but I'd love to see some dykes at City Hall. So mm-hmm. Claudine Metcalf and Louise Waugh are the dykes.
Okay, so that's next Sunday, November 6th.
Don't forget to vote.
Don't forget to vote. And next week, stay tuned for Funky Gwyn. It's the French version. It's the French show, the French dykes show. So we'll be back in 2 weeks, and we'll probably be talking lots about the Imagination Film and Video Festival and other things. Have a happy Halloween.
Thanks for listening to Dykes on Mics. Mm-hmm.